You do drink gin.
He does drink gin. He likes gin.
Black coffee.
What's up with that? It's a little fucked up.
What's up with that?
A little fucked up.
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you.
Kind of...
is that you drinking gin?
What kind of mime act is that? That's the most... I just walked up in France. It's Frank, the drunk mime. He's an out. All right, now an alcoholic Irishman. That's so sad.
Imagine a mime like holding out like a cup for money, but there's no cup. So they drop the change and it falls to the ground.
Oh man, that is genius.
That's actually pretty good.
That's pretty good.
It's a good bit. Are mimes still a thing?
Yeah.
I think
they died after the 15th century with the rise of
television.
I don't know.
I haven't.
No, I mean there's still like street performers and everything like that who do it.
I have not seen a mime ever in my life.
There's this mime I really like in Japan.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I consistently go to this mime.
Is he? He's your mime.
He's my guy.
You got a mime?
Yeah.
You got a mime guy.
You got mime guy.
He wears like one of those masks, like masquerade masks with the long nose. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
And a top hat. And he stands in the streets of Hiroshima and he just sits still. And then you give him money. And then he, like, does the robot. And he's like,
why do
like
you have
an animatronic?
Yeah. He's one of those kind of guys. Kind of like
a
mime.
Are we sure it's not just an animatronic?
No, because he does it differently every time.
Why do you have a go to mime?
He's just my guy. Like when I go to
the question.
When I go to Hiroshima, I like to visit him. You know?
He hired him for all his kids' birthday parties.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm curious what those guys do like after hours. Like, do they just kind of like go home and just watch TV? Like, I don't know. It's
a weird dream to pursue.
We should.
Say. Yeah, it is.
Save this, and we should do a little mime talk. We
can
do
mime
that,
talk.
Right? We can talk about mimes.
Well, it's kind of hard to do that on an audio podcast.
Is it?
It'd just be all silence for.
Aha! Good joke.
You get it,
yeah. Good joke.
I try.
Shit joke.
I'm disappointed.
Awful joke. Bad joke.
Mime talk? I mean, I don't know really what input I would have in that conversation because I don't really know anything about mimes. Or clowns for that matter.
Love clowns. I hate clowns.
Love clowns.
I stayed at a cabin recently in Maine, and when we arrived, it was an Airbnb. When we arrived, there was a, what are they called? Like a black box thing. It's like sort of like a frame, but you put like things inside of it, not just like pictures. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Like a little box that you like a memorabilia
shadow box
that had a photo, a old black and white photo of a clown with like that clown's wig in the shadow box.
That's
like
that's
somebody crazy. Who lived there was a clown.
That's a horror movie.
There was also a tiny rocking chair with a Raggedy Annie.
Oh no! Four friends arrive at an Airbnb
in Maine, rural Maine, in the middle of nowhere.
This is some cabin in the woods.
Yeah, the closest grocery store was like a gas station. I'm not joking.
Wow. they discover a shadow box with a clown wig in it.
It was freaky.
This once belonged to Bozo.
It was freaky.
That is
we actually found out the lady who lived there used to work at a Japanese internment camp.
Oh, no!
Holy shit.
Ah! You're cursed! Stay out of my house!
Oh, wow.
It was pretty cool. Pretty cool place.
Wow, that's Poltergeist 5 is what that is. That's the plot.
Do they really need any more of those?
No.
We're getting an It movie, so.
Oh, yeah. 17 years later.
Yeah. This is the first theatrical
27 years
It
later?
Movie.
There, 27 years later.
There's never been an It movie in theaters before.
But it was 27 years after the
Wait,
one, right?
It wasn't in theaters?
No, that was a TV miniseries.
That they kind of turned into a movie.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, did they like re-edit it?
Yeah.
With Tim Curry? Really?
Yeah.
Like a recut?
Oh, I always thought that was like a theatrical release.
Nope.
That's pretty dope.
That's TV movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The new one looks awesome.
Yeah, it does.
No, I'm excited. I'm ready for it.
It is directed by Cary Fukunaga, correct?
Yeah.
You know what's great about the sentence? He said it is directed by, and that's totally fine.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
It's like, what is? It is.
It is.
So what do you, who's on first?
I know. That's a bad Abbott and Costello bit is what that is.
Yeah.
Should we count down the show?
Wait, it is? sure. All right, chill.
Adam's dying.
Anyway. You're right. Yeah. Oh, that's
too much cookies.
Too many cookies. I didn't.
Those are good cookies.
I had like half a cookie.
Half a cookie?
Half of the cookies that I made, which were amazing, by the way.
They were great.
It's only like half
they were
high.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, Nico, you lost your
Yeah.
Oh, did you eat it already?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We split it in thirds.
Yeah.
Go to fucking town. Not only did somebody eat my cookie, you conspired together to eat my cookie.
You
collaborated on fucking me in the ass.
You went upstairs and Nick's like,
we're eating this.
We're eating this cookie. And then he's like, we're going to split up in threes. You guys pick. And then we picked. And we're
wait,
because
I broke it. So I'm not going to pick one. You know,
oh my God.
Fair.
It's like a. It's
you
like
were
a,
Jesus in this.
It's like he a simple plan. It's like a simple plan. The three you conspired
the band?
Together.
Simple plan.
No,
the band?
Movie is simple plan. Where the three friends conspire to split the money that they took off of a dead guy. Count down the fucking show. I'm bad at you guys.
All right. Three. Two.
Good afternoon.
Hey there.
Hey.
Hey there. Ho there. Hi there.
Welcome to Why Is This a Thing? We're back. Hey guys.
Hey.
Hi.
How y'all doing?
It's okay.
All right. Enough quips. Enough banter. We need to get right into this. We need to drill into this movie.
Screw
this film.
Yes,
wow.
Can't do it. No, we got to get right into this.
Yeah, no.
We're talking about a movie called Fateful Findings today. It is a film from 2014. It is directed by a man named Neil Breen. We're going to run down every nook and cranny. We are going to...
We're
going to
finger all of those orifices.
Absolutely. Yo. We are going...
We're gonna smooth out the bumps. How many more weird analogies can I... Or I don't even know. Idioms? I don't know. Idiots? What are we?
We are a bunch of idiots.
Yes. There we go.
We're going to talk about everything with a movie that I think we're going to have some disagreements on. Some arguments may come about.
I'm pretty sure the three of us agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're the odd one out in this, but I'm pretty sure.
I'm used to it. Story of my life. We're going to do that in just a little bit.
Well, this is big because this is one of the more unique occasions where I do not agree with Nico.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Well, Adam and I are kind of on bad terms today because he told me that Capote was a better movie than Moneyball. So
because it is.
Well,
I haven't seen Capote. I've seen Moneyball.
You would hate
what
Capote.
I hate Capote?
You would hate it. Anyway, let's... All right, we got to get into Fateful Findings. Before we get started, I want to find out from the two of you...
Who's the two of us?
Nick and Zach. Zach and Nick, whatever your two names are.
Okay, hey.
Talk to me about how you guys came to find this thing.
We found it the exact same way.
Well, yeah, so I think... So yeah, I was
some might call it fate.
I remember...
Hey!
I know, I was watching Good Mythical Morning.
I was also watching Good
and,
Mythical Morning.
Yeah, yeah, and then they were...
what's Good Mythical Morning?
It's a great show.
It's a TV show that...
Well, it's not a TV show. It's a YouTube show.
It's a YouTube show. I meant to say show. I don't want to say TV. But they just... do something random every weekday for like 10-15 minutes.
It's a little morning show. It's good.
No, it's fun.
And it's hosted by Rhett and Link.
Rhett and Link. Yeah, yeah. The famous, you know, godmen of YouTube.
The godmen. Exactly.
No,
star
yeah.
of many a conventions all across the country.
they were doing a little show, or a quiz kind of thing where they give you a quote and then they left one of the words from the quote blank. And these are from obscure movies.
Yeah, and Link had to guess what the...
He had to guess what the word was.
He had to fill in the blank.
Okay.
And one of the movies was Fateful Findings.
So I message into the group chat, and I believe Zach immediately responds, yes, and this. And from that, I just knew that we both had watched Good Mythical Morning that day.
Yeah.
Like, I was in the middle of watching it. It was, like, really early in the morning. And you were clearly watching it first thing in the morning, too.
Yeah, because it was on, like... It's like it comes out at 6 a.m.
Yeah, it was like 9 a.m. for us.
Yeah, and it was, and that happened to be one of the days where I woke up. I wake up at 6 a.m. 2 days a week. So I woke up, put it on, watched it, and so
it's too funny.
You text it, I'm like, oh my God, yes, we need to see that movie so badly.
So this was just an excerpt, though, in Good Mythical Morning.
We saw one clip.
We saw one clip that lasted 10 seconds.
And
max.
It's very misleading.
So they didn't...
Very misleading.
So they didn't really do a deep dive into
the
plot.
Not.
You had no idea what this movie was about.
No, so Wet said the answer, and then he gave like a quick, oh yeah, this guy's a hacker. Next question type of, like it was
right
yeah
okay this is a convoluted plot.
It's a shallow dive, I guess.
They had a shallow dive. We're about to do the official internet deep dive.
It's
on
a convoluted plot, he says.
How do we want to go about this? Do we want to talk about the plot first, or do we want to figure out who Neil Breen is first?
Can Nick please explain the plot of this movie?
Okay, go.
Yeah,
Nick,
no, I think we need to do the plot first.
Well, this is one of my favorite segments we ever do, by the way. It's Nick describes the plot of the movie we just watched.
The issue.
It's like those Twitter things where it's like describe something badly. Except it's the whole thing.
But I'm just trying.
No, it's great. It's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah, you're generally trying.
Just trying my best, guys. The thing that's difficult about this movie, guys, is that there are so many, I wouldn't even call them subplots, just like points that are irrelevant. It looks like a scatter chart, you know, where you're trying to like make a straight line and there's all these fucking dots everywhere. That's what this movie is. I'm going to start at the beginning. That's the only place to start, I guess.
If you're going to start somewhere, I'd say the beginning's a good place
to start. I'll tell you what, though. If you start at the end, it might make more sense.
I was going to say, I'm not even sure it would matter.
If you tell it backwards, it might, but no, go ahead. Tell it.
I think you could tell this at any point you want, and it would still have the same
effect. You can pick it up in the middle and just wrap around, and it would make total sense.
Yes.
I think I got this, so I think it's going to make sense. So two children are scampering through the woods and come across a magical mushroom, which turns into treasure.
Yep.
They collect the treasure, and it's a magical day, and it's also a magical day. And then
it's a magical day.
She leaves.
Yeah.
To the airport, which, by the way, that plane's gonna wait for them.
Yeah.
Patient plane.
I love that detail.
You're not making any sense. But keep going.
You guys know what I'm saying.
Oh no, it makes 100% sense to us.
Yeah. So she leaves, never to be seen again. Right. So
the scampering little girl who writes, "It's a magical day" in her notebook upon finding the treasure in this.
I don't think we need to explain it this much. Okay. I think you're getting too into it here.
Keep going, Nick.
Hold on here. Yeah. All right. So this is
the best bit. Though.
Yeah. So the little boy never sees her again. Cut to, I think, like 76 years later. You come across
more or less.
He looks so old.
He looks so.
You come across that little boy again as an adult. He's walking across the street, having a one-sided phone conversation in which he does not chime in once.
Nope. literally, his lips don't move at all.
And there's no audio. There's not even, like, he just doesn't chime in. And then he gets hit by a car.
Yep.
And goes to the hospital. He's covered in blood. The car is covered in blood. All the standbys are like, holy shit, bad acting.
This is so good.
This is the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Standard.
He wakes up in the hospital perfectly fine, basically, except he's still covered in bandages and bleeding and stuff, but decides to just walk home and takes
he was in a coma.
Like, was he?
No, yeah, he was coma.
There's no frame of reference for time. At all. I can't tell when an hour has passed or, like, 9 weeks have passed. There's no judgment in that.
The doctor is a, or tells...
Hold on, Nico, you need to fix your glasses.
Yeah, his doctor tells his wife and friend...
Yeah, he says he's critical.
He's critical condition.
But then, like, the scene ends, then he wakes up and leaves. I mean, I don't know how much time has passed.
He was not in a coma.
Not much time at all. I think it is heavily implied that it has to do with the magical stone that they found in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the magical pieces of treasure they found
at
this magic mushroom
keeps
him alive or something.
I think brings him back to life or at least makes him healthy again.
Yeah. Healed him up.
Yeah. So, geez, this is a dense movie.
So dense.
Go on.
So he's home, showers, goes to seek... he's a writer, by the way, I guess. We find out.
He's a writer and something else.
But he's a writer.
Okay.
At this point in the movie. Yes. He seeks medical therapeutic help or something, gets drugs, then he doesn't want the drugs anymore, but apparently his wife is stealing the drugs and using them because she's a drug addict.
Right.
Okay. Yep. So we got that out of the way. He stops wanting the drugs. His wife gets upset because she needs the drugs because she's crazy. Mm-hmm. I think at this point, at least once, they've kind of shown you that he has magical powers.
Yes.
So I'm just going to gloss over that.
Well, his magical powers include the ability to transport from one
teleportation.
Room. Yeah, get from one side of a wall to another. I mean, it kind of stops short of that.
He can see his reflection in the mirror when he's not there.
Well,
or I guess the audience can.
No, we see it,
I don't know if he does. I don't know if he cares.
I've got a theory about that. Keep going.
Bloody vampire?
We'll get there.
Man, and so meanwhile, his wife's friend, this is a subplot that's not relevant, but it's there. His wife's friend from work and her husband don't have a good marriage. Yeah.
Is that her friend? I thought the man was his friend.
I think they're both somehow friends.
I think they're both, but the...
They did mention...
Is her name Amy? What was her name?
Amy.
Is it Amy?
Yes, Amy.
Amy, who's the other one, and Emily, who's the main character's wife, work at the bank together.
Yeah, okay. but also, yeah.
And there's some stressful stuff going on at the office at the bank.
Yes.
It's a tough job.
Yes. Yeah. That's tough all job. The details we get on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, the husband of Amy, Jim, keeps wanting to have sex, and she doesn't want to, so they fight a lot, and then his daughter, her stepdaughter,
yeah.
Like, listens in and shit and is real creepy.
Yeah.
Back to the main plot.
Yeah, there's like 12 subplots.
It's so confusing.
Is that the motivation for the stepdaughter to want to do what she does later? Is that what that is?
I'm not sure, man.
I don't know.
She's just always horny? I mean.
We'll get there.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I got to figure out where I am now. This is so confusing.
Yeah, I generally
when I'm struggling, remember. There's an issue.
I generally don't remember what happens right after.
There's like a party, they go barbecue, right?
Right.
And then this guy Jim keeps being drunk and horny and the girl shows. Oh, right. No. So apparently the doctor at the hospital, one of his doctors at the hospital was Leah, the girl from their childhood who said it was a magical day and took some of the gems.
Yep.
And we recognize her because she has those gems in a little bracelet. Still. 76 years later.
That she always wears.
Right. It's weird. And
she's been thinking about him.
Yes. They immediately hit it off and she brings her fiancé to this party, but they immediately hit it off and basically she disregards the fiancé and he disregards his drug-addicted wife. And it's real creepy.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
He specifically tells Amy, his wife, in a kind of creepy, sexualized way.
No, Emily is his wife.
Emily is his wife, okay.
Yeah, and Jim, you're talking about Jim?
No, I'm talking about Dylan, the main character.
Oh, yeah, Dylan and Emily.
Leans over to his wife and goes, I've known her since I was 8 years old.
Or she was eight.
She was eight.
I've known her since she was eight years old.
And
not regarding his age at all, because he looks... ancient.
Right.
He looks a good 20, 30 years older than us.
Yeah. How old is Neil Breen?
We don't know. We don't know.
It's not on his Wikipedia.
Oh, my God.
There's no information on his age.
God damn.
Okay. Yeah. That's one character. We should maybe mention the teenager, the sort of the daughter of
Allie.
Amy. Yes, Allie.
Yeah, yeah, their daughter.
Stepdaughter of Jim.
All the way around.
Okay.
It's Jim's daughter, Amy's stepdaughter.
Amy's stepdaughter, okay. Yes.
But he words it really weird, because Jim says to Amy, your stepdaughter, which is like the weirdest way to word that. Like, he's saying it's like your responsibility, it's your stepdaughter. Like,
right.
Really confusing. Unless she like inherited the stepdaughter from like...
Inherited. I think that's the right word.
From like an ex-dead husband, and then it's not his daughter at all.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Some weird shit like that, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of ambiguity with everything in this movie.
Neil kind of stumbles upon that girl, Allie, who, by the way, is played by Brianna Borden, who is a Disney star, I think.
Yes.
Brianna Borden? Wait, am I getting the right one?
No, hold on.
Danielle Andrade. Yeah. Andrade. Yeah. Sorry, Brianna Borden is young Leah. I just got mixed up.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about both of them, but... he keeps stumbling upon this young Disney star naked, and,
Well, sort of.
But he, like...
No, naked the second time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But he sticks to his guns and says, no.
Yeah.
End of sentence.
That's it. That's the end of that.
Great screenwriting.
Meanwhile... It's the fourth meanwhile.
You're missing one of the most important... aspects of the movie.
The secret government.
Right.
And corporate secrets.
I was just getting to that, Neil.
Yeah.
Great.
Turns out he's not writing a book. He's actually been hacking with his four laptops that are never on, hacking into secret government and corporate secrets. Please. we're just making a trade deal off mic here. So he's a hacker, and he's trying to uncover all of these secrets and reveal them to the public.
Right.
So that's the real plot of what's going on.
And he's doing it with four laptop computers that do not work.
He never turns them on.
No.
He throws them on the ground. As a matter of fact, the amount of times things are thrown on the ground is, like, unnecessary.
Yeah.
I know it's supposed to be dramatic, but like when you do too much, it becomes a joke. It's a gag. Mm-hmm. So then, yeah, so real back to the other subplot. Amy shoots Jim and he dies.
Because their marriage is kind of falling apart.
But like, honestly, sort of. It's kind of weird because he's an asshole, but he's actually the good guy. It's really weird.
Yeah, I mean, he's a douche.
There's he's no a total question. Douche, but she's also unnecessarily bitchy.
Right. He complains because she never has sex with him, and then he goes, or she goes, you know, you pay more attention to your Ferrari in the garage than you do to me.
Really that, weird.
That's all it takes, Nico.
Right.
That's all it takes.
But she shoots him in the ear, and he dies.
Well, unclear where he's shot. But then again, it's very unclear where a lot of people are shot in this movie.
But I got a question, by the way. What are the government secrets?
They don't tell you.
Yeah, we never really? Know.
It's secret.
We never know. Well, learn.
Get there.
I just want to make sure I get to all of the main important arcs so nobody's confused
yes.
when we talk about this.
Wouldn't want that
we
now.
Are still confused, Nick. We watched it.
Emily, meanwhile, Dylan's wife, I've said meanwhile 9 times.
Yeah,
I
am sorry. It all happens at the same time.
I'm sorry for your ears. She just takes pills and kills herself.
Okay.
I mean, there's a bit more, but is it relevant?
No, okay, keep going.
It's not no, exactly.
It's there's more, but it's not relevant.
Well, it's implied that, number one, she's a little distraught about Dylan sort of having an affair.
She thinks he's having an affair. She's also very distraught about Jim because she was mean to Jim before he supposedly killed himself, which is what Amy tells the cops.
Right.
So she's very distraught, and she kills herself, which basically frees Dylan up to go fuck Leah.
Right.
So that's really the only importance to that.
Sure.
And Leah leaves her fiancé for literally no reason.
Yeah, well, besides the fact that they've been star-crossed lovers for their entire life, and they found a magical mushroom together.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They go
they
back.
They had one magical day.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then I guess they go back to that, and then they're together now. Yeah. She gets kidnapped.
Yep.
And then he rescues her.
How does he rescue her?
By teleporting inside of a cage and saving her, right?
Yes. She was locked in the trailer.
Right.
She gets kidnapped with chloroform. We're going to get into all of these scenes in much more depth. I just need to get through the plot because it's so fucking dense.
Yeah.
Holy shit. And then he suddenly... I think I blacked out for a moment because I just, you know. But next thing I remember is him showing up in front of the steps of Congress.
Right.
Just announcing...
Yeah, yeah. You blacked out for a little while.
I mean, there's not a ton more than
there's not
happens.
A ton... Yeah, there's not a lot, but... Like,
there is some weird sort of... horror-ish
yeah they have these weird scenes. Cuts
yeah where he's sleeping in bed with I'm not really sure what's happening here.
There's this man with black shoes
that
just keeps appearing
right
and teleporting away and reappearing and teleporting, very strange.
And there's this book that sort of keeps calling him,
right?
And he goes out into the middle of the woods or the desert or whatever and asks a bunch of sort of ghost spirit creatures next to this book, is there anything to worry about? Is that what it is? Something like that?
Should I be afraid?
Should we be afraid? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Should
anybody be afraid?
Yeah.
And then he announces to the world that he has these secrets. The most secrets of anybody.
But what are the secrets?
Secret government and corporate secrets.
Oh, okay.
I get
okay.
it.
The truths, Zach.
The truths.
All he says, the truths.
We have the truth now.
Yeah.
And
actually, he calls them the truths.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's definitely plural.
Yeah, he's like, he says truths.
Too many truths.
Too many truths.
And then a corporate CEO, a bank president, senator, congresswoman, Wall Street broker, insurance president, all kill themselves.
All the character names.
On screen.
Yeah.
Because he has secrets that are going to ruin them.
Secret government and corporate secrets.
The end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all the main points.
It's such a weird, bizarre, eclectic thing.
Yeah. Now, I'd like to point out, while there was a lot going on, this was probably the slowest movie I've ever seen.
So much happened.
Yes.
In so much more time.
Yes, Zach. Yes.
This movie... created, in my opinion, I can't think of another movie that, I mean, maybe Adam will be able to, but a science fiction drama. What's the point of the science fiction aspect if you want to make a drama movie?
Have you seen Solaris?
Nope, but that sounds dumb.
Whoa!
If it's a science fiction drama,
holy shit!
I am not in.
Have you seen The Adjustment Bureau?
There's a ton of them.
Okay, that's actually okay.
Yeah, that's...
Why?
I don't know.
So, what's the point of the science fiction in a science fiction drama? Or what's the point of a drama? I mean...
You mean, well, like,
it's not
you mean
really
like a romance.
Even science fiction.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
It's fantasy.
It's more fantasy than science fiction.
Well, no, because it's more... I don't want to get too much into it, but it's a lot of people seem to heavily believe that there is a lot to do with either Men in Black or aliens that are monitoring him throughout his life.
Did you read the same shit I read?
Of course I did.
Damn it.
Okay.
How many... Wikipedia is our source, Zach.
What y'all read? Fill us in. Fill us in. What is this thing that you read?
Well, okay, so...
There was...
Yeah,
there was the supposed deleted scene that was in like the teaser trailer for this movie and everything like that, where the government, quote, Men in Black and aliens were all monitoring. Thank you. I can't say that
the
word.
The aliens and the Men in Black.
Yes.
Working together.
Dear God.
Since they found this little black cube from the mushroom when they were kids, they've been monitoring Dylan his entire life.
I want to take a moment real quick. Let's watch this trailer. Okay. The teaser. I have it open right here.
Okay, play it.
Okay. Are we good to play this into the mic somehow, or do you want to just...
You're fine.
All right, I'm just going to play it loud.
Just play it loud.
Look at that shot.
All right, same opening as
Same opening as the actual movie.
Yep. What website is this on, by the way?
This is faithfulfindings.biz. He gets hit by the car. Oh, I forgot that. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
The weird bloody shower sex scene.
Others want to take this from me.
He's writing about government secrets.
I loved you when I was 8 years old.
Oh my god.
This time, I haven't been working on my next book. I've hacked into the most secret government and corporate secrets.
Those secret secrets.
The man with the black shoes.
Does he have a credit?
Oh! Holy shit.
Spoiler alert. The mirror is shaking. That was one of the horrors.
Desert.
This nice little desert vista.
I like desert it. Desert vista.
Okay, are these the Men in Black characters? Afraid?
Well, we don't know.
Should we be afraid? I'm not ready for this.
How do you make a trailer for this movie?
I want to be honest with all of you.
Oh, man. Green screen in front of me. This is not really Congress, though, is it?
I don't know.
That's not the Capitol building.
But you should be scared, because it is the truth.
Jesus.
Act now.
These cuts are the same as the movie.
Yeah.
Outside of the corporate systems and these incompetent politicians.
This is basically just the movie in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But you can't see what's about to happen.
It is. Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't know what deleted scene you're talking about here. That's basically just the movie, right?
I think there are two trailers, and I think he removed the other one.
Yeah.
Because I read online there was a 1.5-minute trailer, and this is a 2-minute trailer.
Okay. Jesus.
So I have a feeling
he removed it from existence.
That's very possible.
You made sure.
But
that movie is bullshit, guys.
Okay. Can we get a little more macro here before we get micro? Because we're about to get pretty micro.
Yeah, we are. Okay.
Neil Breen, a Tommy Wiseau-esque character.
Yeah.
However, he has got a much longer career than Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah,
for some reason. Although he is not as famous. He has made 4 feature-length films. This is his
third. Started in 5.
What?
He's been in 5, but he's made 4.
What was the 5th one he was in?
Hold on.
Because all of them pretty much have his... face featured, like, if you go on his IMDb,
it's the exact same picture that they use,
right?
Yeah. No, okay, so he's directed
seeing 4 in total.
No, director, he did Double Down, I Am Here Now,
dot 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 now.
Faithful Findings, Pass Through, but then if I go to actor, he was in all of those, and he had an uncredited role in Scream.
That's
great. That's amazing.
He played the policeman. He played a policeman in Scream.
Oh, I gotta rewatch Scream.
How?
He was just sort of lurking there. So this is a guy that probably, and I guess my guess would be that he has just a lot of famous friends. I have a feeling that people just like being around Neil Breen, even though they know he's kind of an idiot. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? He was probably.
Actually, it claims in here he's not part of Hollywood's quote insider group.
No, really?
So, what do you mean famous friends? What do you mean famous friends?
I mean, I just assume that's... Well, really what I'm trying to figure out is how does he have all this money? You know what I mean?
It actually says this.
Okay.
Oh, yeah?
Let's figure this out.
He makes his living as an architect in Las Vegas and funds his films from the money he makes from that profession.
Okay.
He's an architect.
All right.
And he just pays for these movies.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's actually incredible.
Good for him.
That's beautiful.
And he's noted there's also a common misconception that he's a real estate agent, like Tommy Wiseau. Right? According to Breen, he earned a real estate license, but he only briefly worked as a real estate agent. So, just to clarify that.
Okay.
Thanks for that clarification.
No problem, man.
Let's talk about Neil Breen for a second. And this is where I think the first fundamental disagreement that we're all going to have is.
Great.
I'm
pumped.
I'm ready.
We're 2 years into this podcast. We just finished our second year, actually. Our second year anniversary was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And we forgot to acknowledge it yet again.
We really suck at that.
Let's just not do it.
But we've been doing this podcast for 2 years, and I've watched a lot of bad things, and I have come to the point now in my bad movie watching career that I sort of have an overarching thesis about what bad movies speak to me and what bad movies don't speak to me. Mm. And it's now very clear. If you make a bad... If a movie is a singular vision... I think Nick and I have talked about this.
Yeah.
If a movie is sort of a singular vision of one person, it's very clear that it's from the point of view of that one person. And despite all better judgment from people around him... And, you know, despite financial hurdles and production hurdles and everything it takes to make a movie, that person persevered and made that bad movie anyway, I am all in. And I just want to get in Neil Breen's head for 2 hours and just play around there. Like, it's just fun for me. If a movie is just sort of a bad, for the sake of being bad, it's done with a little bit of a wink. There's a bunch of idiots that get in a room together and just say, oh, wouldn't this be funny if we did it this way? And they understand that they're making a bad movie. That kind of turns me off. I like as the least amount of self-awareness as possible. And a movie like this by Neil Breen, same thing with The Room, same thing with Food Fight. These are movies that the director and producer and writer have no idea what the hell's going on. And that, to me, like, really inspires me, because this is a guy that actually wants to make a good piece of art, even though he's incapable of doing so. And that passion speaks to me in a way that very few other bad movies do.
You're an idiot. This movie is trash. It's horrible.
Yes, it is trash.
And I'm not fully convinced that he's not aware that it's bad.
I don't...
Not fully convinced.
Okay.
The Koreans are bombing! It's finally happening!
This movie is...
I doubt that even showed up.
Well, let's never mention it.
Say that again?
This movie absolutely is trash. However, Nick, I do thoroughly believe that Neil Breen thought he was making, like, a masterpiece.
No, I agree with it. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy watching movies like this where it's
this
where one person has an idea and they just go for it. I prefer the ones that sort of are self-aware of the fact that they're shit.
What?
But these are fun too. This one was not.
I feel like this guy, after two movies before this movie, knowing that they're shit, how can you still believe that you're making a good movie?
I don't think he knows. I don't think he cares.
So, I mean, okay, so it's possible. Let me read you this on the website.
Okay.
There are some reviews from film festivals.
So, how do you get these movies into festivals?
No, it's been at film festivals.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So the Seattle International Film Festival said, this may be the next cult classic.
Yeah.
That's a good, fair review.
Right.
That's fair.
It's the Three Rivers Film Festival, however, said, brilliant. Delivers a knockout combination. You won't easily forget this genre-bending film.
Fuck not, you.
See? Parentheses, not for lack of trying.
Keep going.
No, that's it.
Oh, that's it.
Okay. He has a Twitter, by the way, at Neil Breen.
All right. How many followers does he have?
I'm going to find out.
Can we get him on the show?
Ooh.
Here's the thing.
I want to know what's going on with this guy.
To me, it seems like everybody's in on the joke except for him, right?
There's nobody else. It's him.
Well, no, but I'm
you
saying
mean like the actors and stuff.
No, like the general public. the general public that's writing reviews like that. I mean, they're clearly doing it with a wink and a nod. I don't think Neil Breen understands that they're doing it with a wink and a nod. What?
Keep going.
Okay. No, what?
His eyes, pupils just dilated to it. Read it.
His most recent tweet, 21 minutes ago, please donate to my fifth feature film,
wow,
Twisted, at GoFundMe.com.
Ooh. He's, oh my God. Open his GoFundMe. Open
it up. He has almost 20,000 followers.
What?
What's his GoFundMe
at?
Oh
my God.
Yo, you think he would come on the show to promote the GoFundMe? You think he would do that?
$4,500 out of $50,000.
Oh my God, he's struggling. Yo! Yes.
How many?
We're not going to help him.
Let's extend the olive branch. Let's say, hey,
how long until it ends?
Yeah, how long does he have?
I don't know.
It should say days left or something.
Of the campaign.
Let me see.
I don't know where it would say that.
Let me see.
Oh, yo.
Let me see.
We should be like, hey, we're a very popular internet film podcast.
Yeah.
We're looking to help some fellow... Yo, aren't we planning on doing a Kickstarter show anyway?
Yes, we are.
We kind of are.
We are.
I was unaware of
that. No, I would love to bring him on. I'm just, you know, I would love to bring him on. Let's do it.
I think we should, man.
He's gotten plenty of $5 donations in the past couple hours.
Absolutely. Here's the thing. There's a certain sort of tell that you can have when someone is self-aware in that sort of way. Like, I mean, that you normally can see sort of glimpses of, oh, you're trying to be funny here with this particular cut. Or, you know, you're trying to let the audience know that you're in on the joke.
I don't think he's trying to, but I, at the same time, I don't think he thinks he's good. I think he is like, you know, I'm okay, and I can live with that.
I think they are what he wants to make. I think these movies are what he seeks out to create.
Yeah,
right?
I don't think he thinks he's Tarantino or Spielberg.
No.
There are some choices though that he makes in the camera work. Again, the pacing is so
bad.
Deliberate. He takes his time. You know, like if you're trying to make comedy, if you're trying to make something that people can laugh at, you don't make it that slow.
Yeah.
Like he is when they're in the hospital and the camera just pans up his body and it focuses in on the window and it replays the same scene over and over and over again. If you tried to make something bad, you wouldn't make this.
No.
Do you understand what I mean? Like if we were trying to make something bad, people would know that we were trying to make something bad.
Yeah.
This is not on purpose. You know, and that to me is what's so beautiful about it. And it's going to be, I'm going to have the same thing where I'll be laying in bed at night and Fateful Findings is going to be living in my head for a couple days. You know, I'm going to think of that shower scene. I'm going to think of the scene at the end in front of with congressmen killing themselves. Like, this is one man's singular vision. And I love when one person just gets to go crazy with that.
I would have really, I think, enjoyed it if there weren't so many things going on. I think if he just took one of the things and honed in on that.
Well, because it seems like he had the end vision of like Leah and Dylan getting back together and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked backwards from that, but then he realized, oh, if this happens, this needs to happen, so how does that happen? And then that needs to happen, and it's just too many... This needs to happen in order to get to the final.
He wrote the script with the ending and then just worked his way back.
Well, no, I think it's almost kind of what it seems like.
Kind of makes sense, actually.
I think it's definitely possible.
It's weird where I'm at with this because it's like a weird mixture of you guys and Nico, because I completely agree with you from one perspective. Because we've talked about this on the show before, where I think something like The Room is more admirable than Sharknado because the fact that Sharknado is in on the joke is not admirable at all.
Well, the thing about Sharknado, though, is I think it started as something that wasn't in on the joke. And since then, once they saw, like, you know... And Fast and the Furious, to a certain extent, has sort of become that, too.
Okay. A little bit.
Well, then Sharknado 2, then. But that's right. That's my point.
Right.
Whereas I do really appreciate the fact that this guy had that vision. And, hey, he made a movie. The problem here, Nico, is that it's one of those rare occasions where someone does have their unique perspective that they want to get out there in this cool little thing, I'm just going to call it. And I didn't enjoy it one little bit.
I enjoyed thinking about what Neil Breen was thinking.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I enjoyed that process of being like, why did he do it this way? Why did he think to include this? How in the world did anybody, like, I mean, he had to hire how many actors? There's 26 actors in this thing. You know, they all had to read that script at one point. I mean, maybe they were just doing it for a paycheck. But no one looked around at each other and said, what the fuck are we doing here? Do you know what I mean?
I feel like unless in reality, it wasn't as weird as it was in the final product. Because, like, a lot of times when you're, like, on a set or whatever, it's a lot more boring than it would look when you're finally done. Because you do the cuts. But he dragged all the cuts out in a way that just made it very uncomfortable.
Well, in you know what it's I mean? One of those things too where maybe the actors read it and they were like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess, but maybe we can, maybe if I take the part, I can add something or change something a little bit. And then they were like, oh yeah, no, this is what we're doing.
It's like, all you gotta do is research. Oh, who's this guy Neil Breen? What does he work to? I mean, like, everybody, once you sign up for a movie, you're gonna look at the IMDb page of the director.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing.
But he has like a cult following.
Perhaps. There's a few stylists. I mean,
clearly, if he's going for his fifth movie,
that's amazing. That's incredible.
Stylistically, there's a few little interesting giveaways here again for what the motivations were. First of all, as you guys said, the scenes, it's the most awkward party you've ever attended. Like, no party you've ever. I've been in rooms where it's been like really quiet and awkwardly quiet, and people trying to cut, you know, get some chit chat going and like try to, you know, get everybody excited and get engaged and. There's none of that here. It's just a bunch of people silently sitting in a room. How was your day? What are you working on in school?
Yeah.
No one wants to hear about that. You know, and the delivery of Neil Breen specifically is like, it's so monotone, but also kind of interesting in the way of like, what emotion is he thinking when he's saying things like
well,
this?
He's trying.
He's
trying to emote.
Because I don't think that's how he talks in real life,
no,
right?
No, I'm sure it's
that'd
not.
Be kind
no,
of weird.
I'm, yeah, no, I'm Hopefully sure he not. Has the inflections and things that he just doesn't do when he's reading lines. But when you're reading lines, you don't think the way that it's a normal conversation.
Knowing that this is his third of potentially five films now, I want to see where he started and where he's going to end up. You know, I want to see if he's made any improvements or if they're all the same.
We are watching Double Down. Absolutely.
No, we're getting the whole filmography. Don't you worry about it.
It's incredible.
Yes.
They shoot some of these scenes too. I mean, the audio is obviously horrible because I don't think they have.
Yeah,
any
that's
audio
what's
department.
The deal with
there's,
that?
Yeah, there's a lot of background noise in pretty much every shot.
Or not enough at times.
But they shoot of like these. I don't know, Adam, what's the term for this when you shoot someone from sort of a low angle? Is it just a low angle shot?
Yeah. And it's, well, there's the low angle. They were using a lot of close up low angle singles, which bugged the shit out of me. And I could tell that they were only shooting on one camera. And it's like, we got his line. Okay, let's move over to this guy. Say your line. Okay, it's done. Move over. It's the most awkward
it wasn't just
way
in
to
one
film
take.
The scene.
Yeah, like these actors were not acting with each other.
No.
They just had them read. He had them read the one line, and then it didn't really mesh, and the editing was horrible.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, maybe. How does that make the final cut of something? You know what I mean? Like, if he's aware of what he's doing, how does he. Or maybe that's the point. I don't know.
I mean, you only get the shots once, and I think it's what I find interesting. The one thing to me that I find interesting about this is I feel like this is a growing experience for him. I feel like he's learning as he's doing it, which I kind of do find interesting. I think I would rather have been there while he was editing rather than watch the movie, though.
So we're going to play a game. We're gonna read down the credits of this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And the question is, did Neil Breen do this job?
We already know the answer.
We already know the answer.
But sure.
Nick and I already know the answer.
For the listener, okay? director. Yep.
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 Writer.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Main actor, Dylan.
Yeah. Yep.
Producer.
Yep.
Yep.
By the way, only one producer. editor.
One of them.
Oh, yeah. Neil Breen, the only editor. Production designer.
Let me get to that list. I believe, yes.
No, yeah, I think so.
I would think
Neil
so.
Breen, production designer on this movie. Set decorator.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Explain what the credits said there. Because I walked out of the room for this. I totally missed
this. Okay,
so he
apparently is, I don't know if I want to, I don't know, it seems like he created a bunch of shell companies. We have Sin N Collaboration. BNB Effects Studio, NJN Sound Associates, Casting N Entertainment CNA, BB Location Management, and NNN Entertainment Partners, and Eats Film Inc. for like food services.
Right.
So these are all little companies that are just him.
Yeah, that were credited in the credits as the makeup department, as the
location manager,
as food craft services, right? And it said at the end of the credits,
at the very end of the credits, yeah,
any company that has the letters N and B in them are not actually real companies. They are filling in, or they're the pseudonym of Neil Breen, essentially.
Yeah.
Right? So in total, Neil Breen was craft services, the accountant of the movie, location management, costume and wardrobe department, casting department, camera and electrical department, sound department, makeup department.
He's not camera and electrical department.
Oh, I apologize. Set decorator, production designer. The only job he didn't do were the other 25 performances in the movie and camera operator.
Now, you remember when I told you there was one person who I thought maybe knew what they were doing? Mm-hmm. At the beginning, I said this.
Yeah.
The first, like, 2 minutes. By the end, I take that back.
Right.
Yes.
There was one person who I think maybe took a film course or read a book on film once. And that is the only person who is not Neil Breen, John Mastro Giacomo.
Yeah.
Does he have other things?
Oh, yes, he does. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
He has worked on one other film in the past. And the name of that film is I Am Here Now. He has only worked with Neil Breen, probably just some intern or something.
It's probably like a genius friend.
I don't know.
Yeah. But it's probably his friend.
He edited the movie I Am Here Now, as well as did the camera operation, and then he was camera operator on Fateful Findings, and that's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Neil Breen did everything.
It's a real auteur filmmaker.
It's French auteur theory for sure.
I just find it amusing that IMDb would spend the memory and all its data banks and everything like that for like people like that.
Yes.
With two credits like that.
Because they know there's people like us.
I guess. IMDb, it doesn't take much.
No.
I know several people with IMDb pages and they have worked on way less.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, let's okay. Are you ready for my thesis?
You have yeah.
Yes.
My thesis.
Yeah,
paper?
You were hyping this up throughout the entire movie, so it better be good. It's not going to be good.
I have my razor blades ready.
Oh.
I have a deep respect for this movie because I think I understand it.
Sure.
And I think I know what this is about, and I think I know what the whole metaphor and allegory is.
If you can truly change my opinion on this, I would love it.
Here's the thing. He's not going to be able to change my opinion on what it's about because if your movie is about something bigger, I don't give a shit as long as if I don't care about the experience and I didn't enjoy it one little bit, your movie could be about why, I don't know, it could be Get Out and I didn't enjoy Get Out. I don't care. And I like what it's about, but you know, that's about it. Didn't enjoy the experience. So
that's a separate thing, Nico.
Keep going, Nico.
Read your thesis.
Fateful Findings is a movie about the pharmaceutical industry.
Awesome.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Nick is off mic.
Nick's way off mic, just laughing hysterically.
You ready? So this is a movie about the evilness of corporate greed and the pharmaceutical industry and how it is poisoning America and poisoning its citizens, right? And has this under control. There's a few little tells about this, and I felt that it was sort of confirmed at the end of this as he was talking about these government truths and secrecies in front of Congress. By the way, to a roaring crowd of press
that we all saw
in the cameras of.
Right.
Never heard the press applaud in my life.
Yeah,
but this time they were very happy about what he was saying. Kind of his wet dream at the end. So obviously drugs are prominently featured in this. His wife has a drug addiction. Ex-wife has a drug addiction. Mushrooms are a major part of this movie, right? We stumble upon
a mushroom. Like one mushroom.
It's sort of the inciting incident in all this, right? It is the thing that gives Neil Breen these magical powers, gives him the ability to survive and to live, and also makes him a little more aware of the world around him, I would say. Much like shrooms were described as during, like, the hippie era, like Vietnam, you know, when acid was becoming a major thing and the youth of America was protesting war and saying that these drugs were making them more enlightened and making them more aware of the world around them. Okay, mushrooms, for all intents and purposes, represent illegal drugs, contraband, pot, acid, actual shrooms, right? Mind-expanding drugs. Then you have the pharmaceuticals, represented in this film by a psychiatrist. What is the name of this psychiatrist that Neil Breen is obsessed with?
Oh, I had it.
Okay.
Hold on, which one?
He's an old man.
The old man.
The old man who has an office at the top of a very large staircase, right? Maybe described as the man upstairs, the guy that's pulling the strings, the government organization that is overseeing the rest of the world, right? In that psychiatrist's ivory tower, he is diagnosing patients, giving them hard drugs, and essentially controlling their lives.
Dr. Lee.
Dr. Lee.
Which, wait, I can't confirm this, but the two doctors, I think they were married in real life. Both of their last names are Hoffman. Okay. So, probably.
That's adorable. So, Dr.
So, hold on, well, so, according to that logic, they're the parents of Dustin Hoffman?
Well, for sure.
So, Dr. Lee.
Just checking.
Dustin Hoffman's like 90, isn't he? He's like really old. Honestly. He's like, he's way older than you think he is, Dustin Hoffman. He's one of those
guys. Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably.
Way older.
It's like Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk is actually really old, isn't he?
You know, so you hear a few key phrases uttered by this doctor in Neil Breen's direction. Number one, I can fix you, right? I can heal you. You just need to let me. Right? You know I can help you. I have these drugs. They'll solve all of your problems. Sort of the lie that we're being sold by pharmaceutical companies, right? That all you have to do is medicate your problems and they'll go away. You can just forget about it. Just take these drugs. But really, he's trying to control his patient. Now, notice a very... There's a choice that really confused me throughout this movie. And sort of the juxtaposition between the two psychiatrists portrayed in this movie is so... purposeful to me. It just seems so purposeful. The psychiatrist that administers all these drugs has a very long table. It's sort of in a conference room. I've never seen a psychiatrist scene set in a conference room. There's a big divide between him and his patient.
So for this part you're talking about, only thing I agree with, but continue.
Right? So there's a big divide, right? That's the government sort of from afar controlling his patient.
Okay, now I don't agree with you.
Listen! Okay?
You lost him.
The doctor sits on one side of the conference table. Neil Breen sits on the other side of the conference table. But then...
Dr. Andra.
We meet Dr. Andra. Dr. Andra holds all of her therapy sessions in a broom closet, essentially. And we go from a doctor, from a psychiatrist that could not be sort of physically further apart from his patient to a psychiatrist that literally, like, sits on top of her patient while in a session, right? It's a very clear juxtaposition. Andra is supposed to represent sort of the new age of psychiatry, right? She believes in sort of these, in the sort of artistic abstract.
She's like 274. New age.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I hate to say this, but I'm coming around.
Right? She believes in sort of...
I mean, it makes a lot of sense what he's saying.
She cares about Neil Breen on a human level, right? She wants to help him through his problems. She encourages him to express himself through his work, right? She encourages him to write. And while the other doctor is obsessively calling his wife, asking him, you know, what's up with Neil or Dylan? You know, tell me more about him. I want to control. Let me in. While Neil is very willing to let Dr. Andra into his life because he believes that she has his best interest in mind. We come to find out later on in the film that this psychiatrist, Dr. Andra, is not a psychiatrist after all. She is one of sort of the
she's probably an alien.
Probably an alien or a fantastical ghost creature that has been sent to keep an eye on Neil, right? But again, she is sort of the one that weans him off of the medication and allows him to live more freely. We also have, again, a constant sort of... here's the bottom
There's
line.
There's the drug addiction in the subplot, too, with the Emily and Jim.
Yes, there's heavy
Amy
drug
and
use.
Jim. Amy and Jim.
Heavy drug use there. And then at the end of the movie, when all is said and done, all of these government agencies are taken to task. Sure. They are exposed at the end. That to me made it very clear this was a movie about government corruption. The secrets, I assume, are something along the lines of, what the pharmaceutical companies are doing, lying to its citizens, making them dependent on them to survive. And that's sort of the hero's journey here, is exposing these guys. But this is all a movie about the pharmaceutical industry. And also, it's kind of a movie that is advocating the use of frowned upon drugs. Drugs like acid and shrooms and shit.
Hence the mushrooms, yeah.
And that's it.
I got a couple questions for you now.
Yeah.
All right, because I'm starting to get there, but you got to convince me.
Okay.
All right. Do you think in any way that this ties into the not-so-subtle Jesus analogies at the beginning? Tie it together for me.
Well, no, I just think Neil Brin thinks he's Jesus.
You think so?
Yeah, I think any... There's definitely some Christ imagery going on here. Man of Steel style at the beginning of the film.
Oh, man, it's brutal.
When he's laying in the hospital bed, this sort of rebirth is coming back to life. He pulls the tubes out of each wrist, sort of symbolizing how he was nailed to the cross in you know, the Bible.
How does this relate to the stepdaughter that, you know... No. Whatever the hell she was
Allie?
Doing. Well, how does this relate to Allie trying
her sexual advances?
Temptation.
How does that relate to pharmaceutical companies?
It doesn't. It's just temptation. That's a general, like, you know, he is not... I mean, doesn't Dr. Andrew even say, like, the world is controlling you or something? Like, you don't give in to the world. The world wants to... You know what I mean? Like, this is all of the sort of the vices of life are sort of piling up and trying to tempt Neil, and he's not letting it happen because he's free.
He has
free will.
So do you think, like, him being nailed to the cross was him going to the hospital, and him pulling himself off was sort of him freeing himself?
Yes.
Okay. How about the reflection in the mirror? You want to explain that one?
Okay, that's an alternate dimension.
So he has... There's... So he can dimension hop.
So I have a theory about who the man with the
hypothesis
shoes is.
Hypothesis.
Yeah, that's Neil Breen. That's sideways Neil Breen. That's walking in and watching his every move.
Not like the alien government people watching.
No, that's him. That's the Neil Breen in the mirror.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the Neil Breen that we see stand still in the mirror as real life Neil Breen walks away from it.
All right. Last question then. What about that book? What's up with that book? Is it the Bible? Or is that a medical textbook?
Well, that and the David
it's an Alex Jones book. It's it's InfoWars, novel.
Both that and the David Lynch Twin Peaks cabin thing.
Oh yeah,
yeah. What's with the cabin?
What about the cabin?
That's literally
that's the dimension.
Yeah, that's the Black Lodge in Twin Peaks. That's all it is. I think that's what it was in Twin Peaks. I'm pretty sure because they went into that alternate dimension and then like the sideways evil versions of themselves started attacking or whatever.
Why was there a naked girl with him?
Unclear.
Who was that?
I don't know.
We still don't know.
Also unclear.
Which naked girl it was. There were several in the movie. So he developed Jesus-like enlightenment because of... And the power to dimension hop because of a magical mushroom cube that he found.
Right.
And used his powers to take on the pharmaceutical industry.
Right. And win.
It was clear to me that it was about saying fuck you to the government in Neil Breen's own unique way. I don't know if I'm boiling it down to specifically attacking the pharmaceutical company.
But, I mean, I'm just saying the fact that there were two psychiatrists in this movie that were so clearly juxtaposed visually, it's not a coincidence that one was set in a large conference room and one was in a small broom closet. You know what I mean?
Is Neil Breen a libertarian?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
I've never seen a clear example of a libertarian in my life. That is Gary Johnson right there. 100%.
Yeah, I would think so too. The way he throws those laptops around, like, if you give a fuck.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I am about 56% in.
Okay.
Which is more than half.
Good enough.
So
I'll take it.
That's a pass.
I'll take it.
I will allow it.
I'll take it.
Safe.
A few little details we gotta get to, and then we'll wrap this thing up. So there are cars prominently featured in this movie. There's a Rolls Royce, and there's also a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Ferrari.
Yeah.
A vehicle. Three wheels in all.
Are those Neil Breen's cars?
If he's a libertarian, then yeah.
My first guess would be yes.
I mean, architects make decent money. But I would think so. That
they must. Money. They can fund feature films. They must.
Keep in mind, he's not just an architect. He's an architect in Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like construction projects going on in Vegas. I mean,
mob money is what it is. It's a lot of mob money. That town is still run by the Italian mob. I guarantee.
I'm willing to say the Ferrari was his because it was one of the lower end Ferraris. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the Rolls Royce was.
I think that was rented?
Something, yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be that hard to rent two vehicles like that for a day. It wouldn't cost that much.
Why a Rolls Royce? That's a strange decision to me, by the way.
It's definitely some sort of like analogy for the devil. Yeah.
I don't think. No, I
wait a minute.
I don't know. Why. It's the controlling class. It's the upper class. It's the 1%. That's what
Then what about the Ferrari?
Well, then, you know, that's just his car. He just likes
cool. Yeah, don't be a fool, Zach.
It's just what this middle class working man, film director slash architect, you know, it's just what he drives around, okay? He's not just like you and me, Neil Breen.
I'm not against buying into this theory. There are definitely some holes in it, but I don't think that Neil Breen thought through those holes either, so...
Yeah, okay.
I don't think they're intentional.
So there's a very weird sort of half-sex scene, very erotic, and very bloody scene in the shower.
There are a couple of those.
Well, there's
not bloody. Well, no, it... He's talking about the first one.
We should also talk about The Office, though.
Oh, we'll get to it.
Oh, we'll get there.
All the sex scenes.
So when Neil Breen is healed magically and decides to go home after his very brief hospital visit, he stumbles into the shower.
Well, we don't know it was very brief.
We would assume so. He stumbles into the shower, face bandaged and all. Blood is just pouring out of his face and down the drain. And when his wife discovers that Neil has returned home safe and sound, she hops into the shower with him. Blood gets all over her nightgown. You kind of get a little peek at her ass. And they sort of just dance in the shower very strangely.
Yeah.
The 180 rule is broken several times in this scene, as it is other times in the movie. And it's weird because I feel Neil Breen sort of wanting to make the movie more erotic than it ends up being. And it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's always like you're at the cusp of seeing a nipple, like, 20 times. You know what I mean? It's always trying to peek through. That nipple is just trying to be exposed, and he doesn't allow it.
It's infuriating.
Is he trying to make, like, a family-friendly film? Did he want to, like, avoid, you know, the MPAA restrictions on it? Did he want to make sure that 17-year-olds could make it into this movie? What was it?
I guess.
Maybe, I think he has a sense of decency.
There were no
He's a gentleman. Then,
he's
Neil
a gentleman.
Breen.
Was besides bastard? Did they ever even curse?
There's not a lot of cursing at all.
I don't think so.
Yeah. This would probably pass as PG-13.
Well, I mean, to be fair, there's not really all that much dialogue either.
Well,
there's a decent amount, but I mean, there's not like
they're not really conversations.
Yeah,
this isn't Aaron Sorkin.
No, this is not Moneyball. This is not.
Nope.
There's another scene coming up later on in the movie as Neil is feverishly trying to write his book and discover all the government secrets.
Not trying to write the book.
Right. Remember, with his four laptops that are not on at any point.
He breaks two of them early on.
Yeah.
So he's up to six laptops.
You're assuming they got replaced.
But he only ever uses one.
Right. They're all off. He's not typing anything in particular.
By using, do you mean like feverishly like slapping the keys around and just
right. And
Jesus.
You know, his sexual impulses compel him.
Oh yeah.
To throw all of the papers and books and laptops onto the ground, as he does several times in this movie.
Yeah.
And throw his lover onto the table, and they make passionate love to one another. Kind of.
Yeah, sort of.
They really just rip each other's clothes.
Yeah.
Not off. They just rip each other's clothes.
It's sexy as fuck.
It makes me really appreciate the staging of a sex scene. You know, I have a newfound appreciation.
Have you not appreciated the staging of a sex scene in the past?
I don't know. I didn't think about it as much.
You know. I love a good sex scene.
Oh yeah, so do I.
I love this.
So do I.
Like Antichrist right at the beginning.
Yeah, exactly like it.
But even like little ones that aren't like just like, oh yeah, it's kind of unimpressive. But you know, looking at like Deadpool for example, like there's nothing spectacular about those sex scenes, but you know, there's a lot more effort put into that than anything that we saw in Fateful Findings. So you know, it's like, oh well.
Actually, I think there was more effort.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well,
more, in Fateful more Findings. Cuts, more takes for sure.
Oh yeah.
So.
Blue is the warmest color. There we go.
We should do that movie for this.
We, yes. Absolutely.
Blue is the Warmest Color is basically a lesbian porn.
Well.
I've not seen the film, but this is my understanding of it.
No.
I heard there's asshole licking.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
All right, Adam, please.
Is that not true?
Yes, that happened.
There's plenty of 69ing in this movie, correct?
There's like two scenes.
That's not what I've heard.
No, there's two scenes.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just they're very long and very explicit. That's the big distinction you have to make. Like more so than Shame.
And weren't the girls underage?
No.
I'm pretty sure one of them was underage.
I don't think.
That's what I understand.
Oh, boy.
I mean the French, they're
interesting. Oh, I hope not. Because if that's true, then I don't know if I like this movie.
I'm pretty sure one of them was
the 17. Shit they do in those scenes is pretty it's intense. That's all I'll say.
People love that movie, though, right?
I like it.
Oh, my God.
I don't love it.
Nick's face.
Shame is my... I love Shame. I love Shame so much.
You like that Michael Fassbender dick?
Oh, yeah.
You're into his Fassbender?
I was going to say, that's an unfortunate last name. Trying to work it into a joke.
They're whipping each other's clothing.
Right.
We're on topic, Zach.
Oh, yeah. We got to get back.
I mean, we're surprisingly on topic.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Champagne Pommery. This company's a real company. I looked them up.
I looked them up, too.
Yeah.
They are a legitimate champagne company.
So, do you think Neil Breen just, like, or they approached Neil Breen? Did someone
Someone
knew somebody and said, hey, you're making a movie. I'll give you a grand if you put our umbrella in the thing?
Well, see, I don't know because, like, my uncle has a Leinenkugel, which is a beer, but he has a Leinenkugel umbrella, like promotional umbrella, in his backyard that
he could have just gotten it.
Yeah. You think he just like won it at a county fair or something?
Something, yeah.
Just, you know, they do freebies at certain events. Vegas, man. Vegas,
but
baby.
Fact that it was in the middle ish of that shot.
Well,
was
the fact that
weird.
They kept doing such a wide shot for no reason.
Well. Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty strangely featured in this.
Yeah.
I get
it. You know what I mean? They did linger on it for just like 2 seconds longer than they should have.
Yeah.
You know? I thought this was blatant product placement.
That was at the world's most awkward barbecue. What was more awkward, the dinner scene or that barbecue?
Dinner scene.
This guy does not know how to write a conversation that includes more than two people. I mean, he doesn't know how to write a conversation, period.
He doesn't know how to write a monologue.
No. But... But when there are more than like when there were five people in the room, he was freaking out. There were too many conversations going on.
Well, because at the dinner scene, Emily told Amy, "Hey, you have to try this wine. It's pretty good." And then she says, and I quote, "Yes, I would love to try your wine." And then she took it. And then Dylan talked. And then she never tried the wine.
A lot of loose ends.
And then that was it.
A lot of loose ends.
That's eating Zach. That's still eating him up.
I mean, you know what's a bigger loose end, though? The fact that Amy shot her boyfriend, her husband, in the head.
And we don't know what happened.
Right? Like, and she's never brought to justice for this. Never brought it. Also, whatever this government, I have a theory about the government force that killed Neil Breen's assassin at the end of this. So what happens is Neil Breen is
on
this. Yeah,
that's what happened.
So here's what we should say. The end of the movie, he is called a press conference. For some reason, the media is showing up for this press conference.
A lot of people
are
showing
up. Who the fuck is she? This random author has declared, put out a press release, I have all the government secrets on a hard drive. Come to the steps of Congress and I'll expose
them.
You
managed to fit all the government secrets on a flash drive.
And several news public outlets, like, they showed up and mic'd him up for this.
Yeah.
Who the hell, like, how many of those emails are they getting a day from random conspiracy theorists? But for some reason, Neil Breen has some credibility here. They show up at the steps of... Stop. They showed up at the at the steps of Congress. He says, we have all the truths. There are six very powerful men and women that are standing right next to Neil Breen as he is delivering these truths to the public. They include a banker,
The president of the bank.
Yes.
A congresswoman.
Mm-hmm.
Just some big corporate CEO.
Yep.
The head of an insurance company, and I think a senator, Nick?
Yeah, there's a senator, congresswoman. What are you talking about?
They're clearly not listening.
Right. But there's like five or six.
There's five or six of them, yeah.
What are you talking about who all kill themselves?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So there's a congresswoman, a senator.
Yeah, there's a Wall Street.
CEO. Oh, a Wall Street broker. The head of an insurance company. And the bank president.
Yeah. Right.
So this movie ends with a mass suicide, which is not where I expected it to go, but really little to no attention is paid to
it. Okay, no, they're not. It's not a mass suicide.
Kind of.
Well, no, because a mass suicide is like that cult who all drink the Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm. The Jim Jones massacre. Jim,
yes.
It's fun stuff.
They were six individual suicides of these people.
In a montage.
In a montage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Two of them, or three of them, shoot themselves in the head right there on the spot, correct?
Three of them?
Or maybe just two of them.
Two of them shoot themselves.
Right. You never see the bullet go through the head or anything. You just...
No, the gun's not even touching them. They're, like, holding it way out here.
Right. And they just shoot themselves.
They shoot themselves. One hangs themselves. One...
Slits his wrist,
thank you. Yep.
Takes pills.
To shoot themselves. And the congresswoman turns on her car and just sits in the...
Oh, and there's also a noose.
Yeah. Himself.
Yeah, we got that.
Kind of a bleak ending, but I imagine that is Neil Breen's, again, like, wet dream. Like, yes. That's just his fantasy. He's wanted to kill these people.
Yes.
Because he hates corporate America. He hates the man. This is a real hippie movie, I'm telling
but,
you.
Guys. But get back to the point where we started.
He never gets into, like, anything that corporate America has done wrong.
Like what they, yeah.
No, which it's just in general. There's just lots, like, of truths.
Fuck that.
Nick. Well, and even when they were showing the people, like, talking before they committed suicide, like the president of the bank? Oh no, it's the corporate CEO. He was like, yes, my company was all about money and greed. And, like, that was it.
Nick has like three tabs open about blue is the warmest color. He's just
Hold on, wait.
I'm just trying to confirm if what Nico said was true.
Hang on a second.
Welcome back to you, Nico.
The Elephant Project is
a
project that the 18-year-old in the movie is working on. Her father, Billy,
oh, right. The Elephant
Project. Yeah, gets really angry at her for sharing that at the dinner table, and that causes
nobody wants to be here but your fucking Elephant Project.
Yes. A lot of strife within that loving family. The 180 rule we said was
you never talked about the assassin.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. That's right. So the assassin, when this is all going on, you see an assassin
crawl out of
just
the grassy
emerge from a bush.
Yes.
He just steps out of. It's like the reverse of that of Homer Simpson sliding backwards into the bush.
Oh yeah.
Right. He's just coming out of a bush.
Right. He goes to kill Neil Breen. There is...
Oh, man.
What do they call that?
Scope.
A PNG?
A site.
Yeah.
A PNG file?
A scope appears on screen. The camera shifts, but the thing does not shift. So it literally... Yeah, it's just like they went into Final Cut and just transposed a circle with a couple lines through it there. You know, like a Photoshop file or something.
It's too funny.
A gunshot goes off, and you think it's the assassin. It's a nice misdirect, you know, the classic trope in Westerns.
We get a few of those in this movie.
Yeah. You think that the gun is going off and shooting Neil Breen, but in actuality, someone has shot the assassin. And we never find out who the assassin is.
Well, it pisses me off.
We do see Neil Breen look at the assassin and then keep talking.
Yeah. So, which leads me to question, how close was this assassin?
I think he stopped the assassin's bullet. And killed him in the process.
Did he curve?
I think Neil Breen. Well, because if you look, I mean, I could be wrong, but it looked like when the assassin was lying down on the ground that there was a bullet still somewhat lodged in his head.
Yeah.
It looked like. So somehow Neil Breen was able to control the bullet.
Yeah. No, I think it's his alternate self. I'm telling you.
You think so?
Here's the thing.
Using that same gun that
everyone else was using,
except for the assassin who had a rifle.
Those sequences, those dream sequences that he'd been having when he was holding that cube in his hand and that sort of that upside down world, essentially, it's like Stranger Things, right? I think that's his alternate dimension self that's watching over him, right? And it could be that the woman is symbolizing like his real life self or something. You know, he's holding him dear. He's keeping him safe. That's a protector, man. That's Neil Breen's protector.
That looks just like him.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
Share with me something about blue is the warmest color.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was just...
Come up on the mic, please.
I was just confirming
not like that.
Whether or not what you said about the actress being underage was true.
I know the character is
so
is
well.
15,
so here's the thing: I'm reading the article, and they're saying Adele was 15 when the movie came out.
Mm-hmm. The character,
Adele. No, the character. Of
well,
Adele
the funny. Character's name is Adele, but the actress's name is also Adele.
That's what's confusing about.
No.
It. she's 23, 24 now. How old is she?
She was born in 1993.
Okay.
When did Blue's Warmest Color come out?
2013.
2013, so 3 years ago. So she would have been 20.
20.
Yeah. Okay. Probably filmed a good year before.
Yeah.
So 19. Also 19.
Okay.
We hope.
ideally.
Oh, I mean, worst case scenario, 18. Really? Yeah. 17 even? In France, that's okay.
Okay.
So I think we're okay.
Okay, what else we have?
No, that's it. That's all I wanted. That's why I didn't want to bring attention to it. You know? I was just looking.
But there is ass eating.
Yeah, well, that's what the whole article from the New York Times is about.
Oh, the New York Times.
Well,
this
guy,
gotta love the Times.
This fake news.
Well, this guy was, like, writing about how, like, he notices certain tropes with directors, like how Hitchcock likes blondes and, like, Tarantino likes feet.
Yeah. This guy likes eating
He literally said this guy likes tight assholes. Is literally pretty much what he said.
Wow. That was published in the paper of record, the New York Times?
Yeah. Like, I looked up Blue is the Warmest Color, and it was, like, one of the first things that came up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are we actually considering watching Blue is the Warmest Color?
Can we just watch the scene? I'm just kidding.
At home, by yourself.
Probably not as fun without context.
I actually do not want to watch Blue is the Warmest Color again, so.
Good. You watched it?
Yeah.
Okay.
He likes the movie. He just said he enjoys the movie.
If it's decent, it's fucking long, but you know.
Yeah, I'm sick of long movies. Can we watch
like,
a short
it's
movie?
It's like over 3 hours.
Oh man,
jeez.
Oh, I don't have the patience. Well,
maybe I don't like the movie. I don't know.
I don't have the patience for that.
All right. Any other thoughts on Fateful Findings before we get out of here today?
Fascinating.
Very fascinating. I don't like it. But.
This is the only movie that This is the only movie in history that we've ever watched together that I think I've enjoyed more after talking about it.
Yeah.
Than while watching it.
Okay, that's fair.
That's fair. That's fair point.
I'm telling you, there's some shit going on behind the camera here. You know what I mean? Like, there's
the,
something.
The only difference, like, the difference between this and Food Fight, for example, is we don't have any.
Yeah.
We don't know what happened
right
offside the camera. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But
we don't know.
Well, yeah, and that's what I said. I mean, Food Fight, at least there's a decent story under why that's such a shit movie. Yeah. This one is just.
It's a mystery.
They are.
Variety Magazine has to, like, do a, like, biography on Neil Breen.
Yeah.
They have to do, like, a nice feature. You know?
We should see if we can get him on and answer some of our questions.
Oh, I would love
wonder if we lie to him.
Well, now he's not going to do it.
No, listen, seriously.
Now he's not going
to
do it.
If we lie to Neil Breen and we tell him that we're a popular film podcast and that we may help you raise money for your next movie, would he come on? I think he might. I mean, no other media outlet's going to let him on to talk about this shit, right? I think we can do it. You know, we get enough listeners to promise to get.
When
like
did
a
you
dollar?
Get so fucking positive?
I'm totally in favor of Neil Breen.
Let's try it.
I will donate to his movie, to his GoFundMe, if it means getting him on this show. 100%.
I'd probably do it too.
Absolutely. Here we go, guys.
Nope.
What?
I have one fact.
Oh,
that I was
fact.
Saving till the end.
Oh yes. Boy. Oh.
Fact.
Oh no.
Shit. Shit.
There's literally one piece of trivia on the IMDb page for this movie.
Oh, Lord.
And I thought I'd end with it because it's so dumb.
Okay.
It doesn't even say Dylan. It says Neil Breen has the power to give people aneurysms with his super glowing hand. That's the only trivia.
I just read it the same time that you did.
This is the only trivia for this movie.
So that must have been how he killed the assassin.
That doesn't
was
happen.
Was his hand glowing?
That doesn't
read that
happen.
Sentence again.
Neil Breen has the power to give people aneurysms with his super glowing hand.
That literally doesn't happen once in the entire
That didn't
movie.
Say Dylan.
No.
That did not say Dylan.
Fun fact, 8 of 8 found this interesting.
Yes. I'm going to click it. I
that is not a fun fact about the character or the plot
it's
or
Neil,
anything.
Neil Breen
no,
himself.
That is that's
Neil
trivia.
Breen.
That's an outside the logic of the movie fun fact. That's about Neil Breen. Gentlemen, go. You've all been naughty.
Go to GoFundMe and go support Twisted by Neil Breen.
There you go.
That's a new movie coming out.
Future guest on Why Is This Thing.
Yeah.
Naughty.
Naughty.
You've been naughty. Fucking.
Fuck.
Licking assholes.